Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, 26 November, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, you are the ones, I guess, who survived Thanksgiving. See? Very good. Hal Lindsey, giving thanks in times of trouble. As the Bible describes the days leading up to the Lord's return, a certain word pops up over and over again. And that word is trouble. The 7 years of tribulation are known as the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. But that won't last. Isaiah 65:16 speaks of the millennial kingdom, a time after the tribulation when the former troubles are totally forgotten. The world is rapidly being prepared for the tribulation period. Christians are destined to be rescued from the world before the actual hurricane of the tribulation hits. And that rescue is called the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So Christians, church-age believers, are destined to be rescued from the world before the tribulation, before the actual hurricane hits. But the outer bands are already kicking up quite a storm. The world is in a particularly troubled state right now. And it looks as though it could get much worse very quickly. I feel for today's ordinary men and women trying to stave off chaos, even as they watch the house around them rattle and creak and break. The Bible has much to say about God's people in times of trouble. Psalm 9, 9 and 10 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you." And you understand that. That's God's problem-solving device of the faith rest life. "For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." But the question is, do you know his name? And that involves knowing him and the kind of person he is. That means knowing the essence of God. That means knowing the attributes of God, that God is sovereignty and righteousness and justice and love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. That's knowing the Lord, knowing his essence, knowing who and what he is, knowing that he is ever faithful and ever true. Have you put your trust in him? Are you living the faith rest life? This is a good time to remember who he is and that you can always count on him. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 69, verse 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving." In the United States of America, our ancestors bequeathed many gifts to us, not the least of which is a special day set aside to do exactly what the psalm says, magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." We sing because our hearts are full when we consider God's essence, God's goodness, God's graciousness to us. But even when our hearts don't feel full, when we sing anyway because his goodness, his graciousness are real and true, regardless of our circumstances. Maybe like Martha in Luke 10:41, you are worried and troubled about many things. If so, try to be more like her sister Mary. In verse 42, Jesus said, "Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You need to choose the good part, and it will not be taken away from you. Choose thanksgiving. Choose to see the infinite expressions of God's grace and God's love for you. Never forget what Jesus said in John 14, 1-3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In verse 27 of that chapter, our Lord Jesus Christ added this, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is a gift that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. That's for you. Thanksgiving from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe. Romans chapter 6. This is the great chapter in the Word of God about the church age that we're living in. Church age began at Pentecost, ends with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. This is a unique dispensation. This is the calling out of the royal family of God. This is the dispensation where every single believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. That never occurred before. This is the dispensation where we are indwelt by the filling of, indwelt with the God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations to be filled with the Spirit and for the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Through the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are taken and identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identified with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. This is totally unique to this dispensation we live in, the church age. And we are studying Romans chapter 6, and let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace? Meganoita, emphatically not. In fact, that's totally unthinkable. Verse 16, do you not know that that one to whom you place yourselves under orders, under authority, as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey? Either the old sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer, but you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of truth, the Word of God, Christian truth, in which system of truth you are paradidomied, instructed. It was handed over to you. It was taught to you, and in this case, taught by the Apostle Paul to the believers in Rome. In verse 17, it starts out, but thanks be to God. And that is the Greek word charis, grace. And literally it means grace. But here, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 886, tells us that it has a very special meaning. It means gratitude to God. When you have charis to theo, grace to God, it is a special phrase that means thanksgiving, gratitude. Gratitude to God, thanksgiving given to God. In our verse, charis means gratitude and refers to what we owe. What we owe God the Father and what we owe the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and gratitude every single day. As you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and are obedient to the teaching of the Word of God, then you will grow up in grace grace orientation, and in knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first phrase is an emphatic statement of thanksgiving and gratitude to be given to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the end of this verse, we have a very important verb, and we only got about 5 points from summary of this, and that's the verb paradidomi. Okay. Paradidomi, P-A-R-A-D-I-D-long-O-M-I. Paradidomi. It says in verse 17, but thanksgiving be given to God, that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer as believers, but you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of truth, Christian truth, in which system of truth you were instructed. And the word instructed there is our word paradidomi. And we noted 5 points so far in our summary. First point, point one, paradidomi means to hand over, to give over, to entrust, to deliver, to commit. Point two, after salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is committed to a system of truth, Christian truth, for the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. This system of truth, this body of Christian truth, was handed over, passed on to the Roman Christians through the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Point four, this body of Christian truth, the God-breathed scriptures, is handed over and given through instruction by God's faithful servants. Now, the church age has two parts. The pre-canon period of the church age, there were apostles and prophets and pastor teachers communicating Christian truth. We're living in the post-canon period of the church age, and in this, there are no apostles in the post-canon period. There are no prophets. The communication of God's truth is by the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher in the post-canon period of the church age. Point five, many of the Roman Christians responded in obedience to the Apostle Paul's teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. And that's the last point we had, and we concluded with Romans 16, verse 19. Why don't you turn over there? We'll start at Romans 16, 19 this morning. Romans 16, verse 19. Romans 16, verse 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience to the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures by the Apostle Paul. Everyone has heard about your obedience. So I am full of happiness over you. But I want you to be wise about what is agathos, what is intrinsically good. God and His Word, His plan, His will. And I want you to be innocent about what is evil. And that includes the trends of the old sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. But many of the Roman Christians responded in obedience to the Apostle Paul's teaching of the Word of God. Well, that's as far as we got in summary last Sunday, so we pick it up now. Point six, Since they had obeyed the Christian teaching in which they were instructed, paradidomi, since they had obeyed that Christian teaching in which they were instructed, paradidomi, their personal experience had been one of being liberated from slavery to the sin nature and being enslaved to righteousness. Since they had obeyed the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures that were taught to them by the Apostle Paul, their personal experience had been one of being liberated from slavery to the sin nature and being enslaved to righteousness. 7. In other words, they made the good decision to turn away from the sin nature with its trends of sin, human good, and evil, with its lust patterns, and they made the good decisions to do what was right in God's eyes. In other words, they made the good decisions to turn away from the sin nature with its trends of sin, human good, and evil, its lust patterns, and made the good decisions to do what was right in God's eyes. Obedience to the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and live the spiritual life. They made the good decision to do what was right in God's eyes. Obedience to the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and live the spiritual life. 8. Their servitude was now to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. Their servitude was now to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. Nine. After salvation, believers are paradidomi, handed over, instructed in a system of truth, the truth of the God-breathed scriptures. After salvation, believers are paradidomi, they're handed over, they're instructed in a system of truth, the God-breathed scriptures. And paradidomi here is in the aorist tense, and the aorist tense is a consonantive aorist, and you would graph the consonantive aorist like this, and it takes it all the way from that point of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the beginning, to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first, and looks at that all in its entirety. So the aorist tense is a consonantive aorist, viewing the believer's life from salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first, in its entirety. This period of time is for instruction of the God-breathed scriptures. This is period of time, the primary purpose of this period of time. Now, I was listening to guys on Thanksgiving Day. By the way, I have Thanksgiving every day, but this was a special Thanksgiving. I always smoke a turkey. And it was perfect day to smoke a turkey. No wind. I get out, get the turkey in there. I got this turkey on a special stand. He stands up in attention. Got a big pan filled with Miller Lite beer. Fill that up. Then put oranges and lemons and limes all over in there. I got wood, apple wood, underneath, smoking. And that starts cooking. Now, if the wind blowing too hard, it blows my flame out. I can't do it. Or I have to build a shield around it. But I didn't have to. that started cooking. The beer started bubbling, the citrus. It's going up inside that turkey, and I can hear the turkey going, oh, 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 mama, this is great. And then getting smoked by the apple wood. And I sit out there just to smell it cooking. And I know it's a fantastic smell because all of a sudden bees are coming all around me. And some critter is about that long, black, and and I stay there, and it's smoking, and I'm smoking, and it's hard to find a pipe big enough to smoke a turkey, but and then I went in, and there were some football games on, and I heard it. An announcer say, Thanksgiving, it's a day for food, family, and football. I said, wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things. It's a day for faith. It's a day for faith. It's a day for Thanksgiving. What, another day of Thanksgiving given to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's number one. That's first. Not football and a little bit of football. I was over at the church studying, and a little bit of football I watched. Well, the Rebels were behind 17-0 to San Jose, and I go, crap. I'm going to church and celebrate Thanksgiving to God. And then the Debbie calls and says, the Cougars lost to the Huskies. Crap. The Cougars lost. The Rebels lost. The Golden Knights lost. So who cares about hockey and football? Faith. God is what matters, not football. God is what matters. So the aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the believer's life from salvation to physical death or the rapture in its entirety. This period of time is for the instruction of the God-breathed scriptures. This period of time, the primary purpose is for you to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The passive voice is the voice of grace, getting the God-breathed scriptures from the printed page of your Bible into your hearts is accomplished by the grace and power of God. Grace perspicacity. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the Word of God. So again, verse 17 says, but thanksgiving, gratitude be given to the God, that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer now as believers, but you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of doctrine, that system of truth, in which system of truth you were instructed. It was given, handed over to you, in this case, through the teaching of the Apostle Paul. All right, let's take a look at this and summarize it again. One, after salvation, you have an option. After salvation, you have an option. First of all, you can option for obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. To his authority. You can option for obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and please the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, secondly, you have the option for sin, human good and evil, the trends of the sin nature, and please the sin nature. So after salvation, after that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you have an option. You can option for obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, your new authority and his thinking, the truth of the mind of Christ, or you can option for sin, human good and evil, and pleasing the sin nature. Two, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Current positional truth. We are now in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are all entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Current positional truth. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ is declared to be the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is declared to be the head of the church, and we, church-age saints, are his body. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and we are his body. Four, the Lord Jesus Christ is now our authority, not the sin nature. The Lord Jesus Christ is now our authority, not the sin nature. And therefore, we are to be subordinate to and obey the mandates of the mind of Christ, the truth of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is now our authority, not the sin nature. And therefore, we are to be subordinate to and obey the mandates of the mind of Christ, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And this is seen in Ephesians chapter 5. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's a great passage because it not only talks about what we're studying here, but also about the divine institution of marriage. So we get two birds with one stone here, see. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We'll start at verse 22. Wives. And then you see the word submit. That's a military word. Hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S long O. Hupotasso. Military word. And it means to be subordinate to the authority of. Hupotasso, to be subordinate to the authority of. Wives, hupotasso, your husbands. This is a mandate. Be subordinate to the authority of your husbands. As to the Lord. And then he explains, for the husband is the head of the wife. He is the authority of the wife, just as Christ is the head, the authority of the church. Church age saints, the royal family of God. His body, of which he is the Savior. Now, just as the church is to be hupotasso, subordinate, just as the church is to be subordinate to the authority of Christ, so also wives should be subordinate, hupotasso, to the authority of their husbands in everything. And you know what? The apostle that wrote this was never married. He couldn't be writing this as a husband, throw this in there, in everything. Everything. Who put that word everything in there? This teaches the principle. The Lord Jesus Christ is now our authority, not the sin nature. And therefore we are to be subordinate to and obey the mandate of the mind of Christ, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:22-24. 5. We are now married to Jesus Christ. So how do we please the Lord Jesus Christ? By being subordinate to and obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ. See, the Word of God is called the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. It's all the same. We are now married to Christ, so how do we please Him? By being subordinate to and obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ. The truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God. 6. In Romans 6:17, the emphasis is on the fact that after salvation, God has delivered us over to a system of truth as the only means, of growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the only means of advancing to spiritual maturity, as the only means and the only way to glorify God to the maximum. So that's what we have here in Romans 6:17. This is very powerful. In Romans 6:17, the emphasis is on the fact that after salvation, God has delivered us over to a system of truth as the only means of growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of advancing to spiritual maturity, and the only way to glorify God to the maximum. 7. This verse looks at our former life as unbelievers in terms of slavery to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Eight. But now, our newness of life is in union with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, we are identified with Christ in His resurrection. We are entered into union with Jesus Christ. We are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is now our head. He is now our authority. But now our newness of life is in union with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is now the authority of our life. And He has handed over to us a system of truth through His faithful communicators, His faithful servants, and today in the post-canon period of the church age, the pastor teacher. In the pre-canon period, there were apostles and prophets, but there are no more apostles or prophets in the post-canon period of the church age. Once the New Testament scriptures were written, there was no need for those gifts. And so after 96 AD, when the apostle John finished the writing of Revelation, that was it. There's never been an apostle since then. Today in the church age, the highest spiritual gift of communication is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, from 96 AD all the way through to the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So, but now our newness of life is in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the authority of our life, and He has handed over to us a system of truth through His faithful communicators, His faithful servants, today the pastor teachers. And this is the only means of spiritual growth, of living the spiritual life, and of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only means of spiritual growth, living the spiritual life, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a very powerful verse, verse 17. But thanksgiving be given to the God, that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer, but you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of truth, Christian truth, in which system of truth you were paradidomied, instructed. It was handed over to you. It was taught to you, in this case, by the Apostle Paul to the believers in Rome. All right, now verse 18. Being then made free from sin. This is the conjunction de plus the aorist passive participle of eleutherao plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of hamartia with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction de, some of you are sitting there going, I know it means but. Well, sometimes it does, but doesn't here. This is the word, it's a transitional particle. It does not mean but here. It's a transitional or continuative conjunction. It should be translated and. It can be translated moreover, then, now, and. We'll translate it and. And then the verb eleutherao. Eleutherao. Looks like that in the Greek. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O, long O. See, there's right here. That's Omicron Omega. Short O, long O. Eleutherao. Very important word. One, eleutherao means to be free or to be set free. To be free or to be set free. Two, it was literally used of slaves in the ancient world being set free. It was literally used of slaves in the ancient world being set free. Three, it is used in our verse for what happens at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. In our verse, it is used for what happens at the very moment of faith in Christ. For, at salvation, the church age believer is positionally set free from the sin nature as the ruler of human life. That's retroactive positional truth, current positional truth as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what Romans 6 is all about, the whole chapter. The doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, identification with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, retroactive and current positional truth. So at salvation, the church age believer is positionally set free from the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Five, the a-o ending, and this is very important, and I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you don't learn about this until the fourth year. There were a lot of men that did not major in the languages, and they never got to learning these things. But if you had a major in the languages and you took as much as you could, eventually the fourth year you learn some of these things, such as the Omicron Omega ending, A-O ending. And the a-o ending is causative. The church age believer is caused to be set free positionally from the sin nature through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. So the a-o ending on eleutherao is causative. The church age believer is caused to be set free positionally from the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. And then we have the preposition apa plus the genitive singular of hamartia. Apa, A-P-O, that's the preposition of separation. And separated from, and then we have the genitive singular, and you've got this down now, those of you who are faithful. Hamartia, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. If hamartia is in the plural, it's referring to personal sins. But when it's in the singular, as it is here, it most of the time refers to the sin nature. And here refers to the sin nature. Six, the rulership of the sin nature over human life begins at our physical birth and is terminated at salvation, positionally through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The rulership of the sin nature over human life begins at physical birth. We all come into the world physically alive but spiritually dead. We have Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, and that results in spiritual death. We are physically alive but in the status of spiritual death, and therefore we need to be born again, a spiritual birth, regeneration. That's faith in Christ. So the rulership of the sin nature over human life begins at physical birth and is terminated at salvation positionally through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seven, the rulership of the sin nature over the human life of the believer. The rulership of the sin nature over the human life of the believer terminates experientially. You see, we still have the sin nature inside our human members, our body, our human body. We're just not a slave to it unless we put it back into authority. Rulership of the sin nature over the human life of the believer terminates experientially at spiritual maturity. When you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, walking in newness of life, virtue, love, has been brought to completion in your heart. And therefore, now you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now you love your neighbor as yourself. Virtue, love. Eight, at spiritual maturity, divine viewpoint, the mind of Christ has replaced the human viewpoint garbage of the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. At spiritual maturity, divine viewpoint, the mind of Christ has replaced the human viewpoint garbage of the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. So verse 18 says in the first half, and having been set free from the sin nature, and having been set free from the sin nature, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is the aorist passive indicative of doulao, plus the dative singular of dikaiosune with the definite article. So we go from eleutherao to doulao. D-O-U-L-O, long O. Again, notice the A-O ending. Doulao. All right, a couple of things on this verb. Doulao, one, means to make someone a slave. To enslave. To be a slave. To become enslaved. Doulao means to make someone a slave, to enslave, to be a slave, to become enslaved. Two, Literally, it means to become a slave to someone. That's literal translation. Literally, it means to become a slave to someone. Three, but in our verse, it's used figuratively. It is the believer becoming a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. In our verse, it's used figuratively for the believer becoming a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Four, once again, the "o" ending is causative. The believer is caused to be enslaved to God's righteousness. And in the church age, we have a double portion of God's righteousness. We have the imputation of God the Father's righteousness given to us at the moment of faith in Christ. That's justification. And we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ being in union with him through the baptism of the Spirit. So we have a double portion of righteousness. But the "o" ending, once again, is causative. The believer is caused to be enslaved to God's righteousness through both imputation and the baptism of the Spirit. Five, the church age believer has a double portion of divine righteousness. God the Father's imputed righteousness to us at the moment of faith in Christ, justification by faith, and sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being in union with him through the baptism of the Spirit. So we have a double portion of divine righteousness. God's imputed righteousness, God the Father's imputed righteousness through justification and the sharing of the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit in union with Christ. And then we have dikaiosune. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E. Dikaiosune. That's the Greek word righteousness, and here refers to divine righteousness. God's righteousness, the righteousness of the Father, the absolute righteousness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have the same divine essence and attributes. Dative case, to righteousness. So the corrected translation, and having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to divine righteousness. So you're all in slavery. Wahoo! Happy Thanksgiving. That's something to be very, very excited about. You're all slaves. I am a slave double times over. Not only a slave to the righteousness of God, I am the Lord Jesus Christ's personal slave. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I love slavery to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. I'm here to fulfill the objective of studying and teaching and feeding his sheep. He asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep." And he says the same thing to me. "Pastor Olson, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." And I love him. I love him. I love the Father. I love the Son. I love the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of you get to certain holidays and you got to fly here and fly there and go around and all these things. I don't want to. I get in my car, drive to the church, go back here, sit down, and study, and study, and study. And then if there's a football game on, Debbie will call me. And she'll say, "The Rebels lost. Me, I know. The Cougars lost. Double me, I know." She said, "How are you doing?" "I wouldn't want to be home watching that on TV for anything. I am here, and I'm here with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are having a party. And studying the Word of God so that I can feed the sheep this Sunday. And so I am a personal slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you all are slaves to the righteousness of God. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Great, phenomenal thing. And having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to divine righteousness. One, since the Roman Christians had obeyed the system of truth, the God-breathed scriptures in which they were instructed, since the Roman Christians had obeyed the system of truth in which they were taught, instructed, their personal experience had been one of being liberated from the sin nature and enslaved to righteousness. Since the Roman Christians had obeyed the system of truth in which they were taught, instructed, paradidomi, their personal experience had been one of being liberated from the sin nature and being enslaved to righteousness. Two, in other words, they made the good decisions to turn away from the sin nature with its lust patterns and with its trends of sin, human good and evil, to do what was right in God's eyes, to live the spiritual life, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, to have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. So in other words, they made the good decision to turn away from the sin nature with its lust patterns and its trends of sin, human good and evil, and to do what was right in God's eyes. Live the spiritual life, attain spiritual maturity, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Three, their servitude was now to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. Their servitude was now to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. And I got going along here. I was supposed to stop 15 minutes ago. We'll take our break here and get into part two in a few minutes.